I think what people want to do is kind of help God out. I know that sounds funny, but I think what they want to do is say, we want to motivate people to come to faith in Christ, and so one way to do it is present this terrible picture of hell. The thing is, hell's a bad place. It is a place of torment, but it's not unimaginable.
What is your idea of hell? And are you sure it's biblical? Hi, this is Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. We're currently in a series called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. At the end of the broadcast, I'm going to tell you how you can get your hands on a copy of the book by the same name. Now let's jump right into our discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace and Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, we've spent the last two episodes discussing the topic of hell and just looking at the biblical evidence about the afterlife for unbelievers and for believers. And we spent the last two episodes just kind of exploding this myth that there's only one place where unbelievers go to. The Bible actually describes several kind of different places, and although English translators use the word hell to cover all of those places, we probably shouldn't do that because the Bible actually describes kind of different places in the underworld.
Right. Hades in the New Testament, or Sheol in the Old Testament, is the place of the dead, and it was the place of all dead, believers and unbelievers, until Christ ascended. Since the ascension of Christ, it's the place of the unbelieving dead. But that's not the only place, because as we saw at the end of the last episode, Hades is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And ultimately, there's a place called the lake of fire, which we don't know exactly what it is. It's probably a planet. We're never told where it is. But this lake of fire is going to be the eternal abode of unbelievers. It's the place where they will experience eternal conscious torment.
Okay, so unbelievers are in Hades up until the Great White Throne Judgment, and then after that judgment, they're in this place called the Lake of Fire. Now, let's talk about, we believe in eternal conscious torment. That's kind of the traditional view, but we have a twist to it. We don't fully accept what traditional Protestants and Catholics say about hell. We do believe in eternal conscious torment, but I'm sure as you have already discerned, there's a little bit of a difference here in our view.
Right. Well, there are two major misconceptions, what I would call two extremes to people's view of Hades or Sheol or hell or the lake of fire. The number one problem is many people have a view of hell that is too extreme, or of Sheol or Hades, the lake of fire. They believe that hell is intolerable. For example, in a book called The Doctrine of Eternal Punishment, published in 1957, Henry Buys writes, "There is a noticeable increase in the crudeness of the description of hell in the Middle Ages." And he goes on to talk about Venerable Bede, who lived between 673 and 735, and Dante Alighieri, 1265 to 1321. And you remember Dante wrote the famous poem Inferno. And Bede speaks of flames coming out of people's ears, eyes, nostrils, and every pore of their skin.
And you can kind of see where he's getting that imagery. I mean, Jesus in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus does talk about this flaming place. Revelation does talk about, you know, the lake of fire. You can kind of see where they're getting it from. But you also have to see that's not exactly how the Bible describes it either. It's an exaggeration of what the language the Bible uses.
Exactly. This is what some people call medieval theology. It is things which are read into the Bible, which are not found in the Bible. Let me give you a modern example. In a booklet called What is Hell, two people named Morgan and Peterson, in a 2010 booklet, say, "Being cast into hell is likened to being thrown into a fiery furnace and means," notice these words, "suffering unimaginable sorrow, remorse, and pain," unquote. By using the expression unimaginable sorrow, unimaginable remorse, unimaginable pain, they are implying that the pain in hell is worse than childbirth, worse than kidney stones, worse than people who have been tortured for days and weeks and months, worse than migraines, worse than backache, and so forth. We don't know unimaginable pain in this life, and the idea there is such a thing is very fanciful.
So let's stop there, because why do you say it's fanciful? And what do you mean when you say it's fanciful? This would be another example of they're going beyond, strictly speaking, what the text says.
That's what I mean about fanciful. I think what people want to do is kind of help God out. I know that sounds funny, but I think what they want to do is say, we want to motivate people to come to faith in Christ, and so one way to do it is present this terrible picture of hell. Well, the thing is, hell's a bad place, and there's no question about that.
And it is a place of torment.
It is a place of torment, but it's not unimaginable. It's not intolerable. That is something which the Scriptures don't tell us. In fact, there's a woman named Mary Baxter who wrote a book called A Divine Revelation of Hell in 1993. And she claims she spent 40 nights in hell. and she writes this, quote, "Hell was infinitely worse than anyone could think or imagine," unquote. So not only is hell not only worse than any pain and suffering in this life, it's infinitely worse. What does that mean? I don't know. But she has some horrendous suffering. What I would say, Sean, is this is going way too far. There's nothing in Scripture that hints at this.
Right. So we can say we need to stick with Scripture, basically, is what we're saying. Okay, so Scripture talks about flames. It talks about torments. But Let's not add devils. Let's not add fire shooting out of your pores. Let's not add all these other kind of made up stuff. Let's just stick with what the Bible says. I mean, it's bad enough. What the Bible says is bad enough. Let's not add to it and kind of add special effects and stuff like that. Let's just let's just stick to what the Bible says here.
We don't need the Steven Spielberg version of Hades.
All right. So there's on one hand, there's this problem of exaggeration in descriptions of eternal conscious torment. On the other hand, there's other views that are wrong, too. And one of those views, for example, would be annihilationism, or sometimes it's called conditional immortality. And this is the idea that hell is not eternal. Basically, you're destroyed in a moment. You're just vaporized, annihilated in a moment. And what they say is that's kind of your state forever. You're never going to come back. So your punishment is eternal in the sense that it's irreversible. But That's not exactly what the Bible says either.
Right. There are several views that go to the other extreme and say there will be no eternal conscious torment. And they have different ways around it. One way, as you mentioned, is annihilationism or conditional immortality, so that people are destroyed. But another way is universalism.
Right. Universalism is the idea that even if there is punishment for unbelievers, it's only temporary, and eventually everybody will be saved in the end.
Yeah, because they believe in something called post-mortem conversion. And they have people being converted in Hades. They have people being converted at the Great White Throne Judgment. And so they end up and they say everybody is going to be in the kingdom. But another one, Sean, is unconscious torment. This is a clever one. Yes, you're going to be in torment forever. You just won't realize it.
Right. So that's kind of a weird view.
Kind of nutty. It certainly doesn't fit the rich man in Luke 16, 19 through 31. He's in torment in the flames. He's aware of it. He expresses it.
Right. So he even says, I want relief from this torment. Please send Lazarus with the drip of water on his finger.
And the one that's closest to our view, I think, Sean, is one that was written by Boa and Bowman. And they wrote a book called Sense and Nonsense about Heaven and Hell. And they say, we embrace the view that there will be endless torment in hell, but it will be spiritual rather than physical in nature. So they think it will be spiritual and mental pain and suffering, but no physical suffering. It seems to me that doesn't fit Luke 16, where he wants Lazarus to dip his finger in water and put it on his tongue because he's in torment.
Yeah, it's very kind of physical sounding, you know, even if it's these are kind of some type of intermediate bodies that he has at that point. All right, well, Bob, listen, we have about a couple minutes left here. We've been hinting at our kind of position of eternal conscious torment. And so let's just get right down to it. What we're saying is, what we're suggesting is, there are actually degrees of torment.
Correct.
In the lake of fire. It's not everyone gets the same type of torment. The Bible suggests, it hints at, that there are degrees of torment. Some people will have a worse experience than others. Bob, can you just give us a couple verses where we would get that idea in the Bible?
Yes, in Matthew 11:22, Jesus said, "It will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you," unquote. He's talking about the cities, the Jewish cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida. And they had rejected the preaching of Jesus. And so he's saying, look, it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than it will be for you.
So it's going to be better for some people than for other people.
Right. And now you could argue, well, this just refers to the day of judgment, that is the great white throne judgment. It's just going to be better on that day. But that's not the obvious point. The obvious point is that Jesus is saying what you experience at the great white throne judgment is going to go with you forever into the lake of fire. And so there's going to be continuing more tolerable for some than for others.
Right. And there's a New Testament principle that we find in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, that says, you know, we reap what we sow. That seems to be built into creation. And
we
think that maybe that applies to this last judgment that we see in Revelation.
Right. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that we also reap. That's true for the believer. It's true for the unbeliever. Believers will receive degrees of reward forever. Unbelievers will have degrees of torment forever.
Well, if you want to read more about this idea, I really encourage you to pick up Bob's book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. It's available on Amazon.com or at our web store at faithalone.org. It will challenge you the traditional views, and it will challenge you to measure your views against what the Bible actually says. So pick that book up today.
Thanks, Sean and Bob, for that great discussion. We learned that a lot of what we know about hell is either erroneous or exaggerated. That's important to remember. The content for today's discussion comes from a book called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. If you're interested in getting a copy of this book, go to faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of resources in our bookstore, along with a lot of free resources, such as the Grace in Focus magazine, which you can get a free subscription to. We also have free podcasts, free blog posts, and you can get information about upcoming events. You can also make a tax-deductible gift on the website, faithalone.org. So check us out there and get to know what we're all about. Maybe today's discussion has brought up some questions that you have. Contact us at radio@faithalone.org. Next time, we're going to look at the word repentance and what role it plays in eternal salvation. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.